I don't ask normal questions, as you probably already figured out. So first of all, could you introduce yourself to the listening audience?
Hello, I'm Karen Ann. Very pleased to meet you.
That's not what you said in for the 5 minutes before this interview. You didn't say that.
No, I didn't say I was pleased, but I actually was.
Okay. Does everybody see where this is going? Okay. You're not French, but everybody probably thinks you are. But I read your bio. But everybody else listening has not read your bio. So give us the sordid history of the 11 years, right? Before you did get to France.
I was born in 1974 in Caesarea, which is a town 2 hours away from Tel Aviv, north. My father is Russian-Israeli. My mother is Dutch-Indonesian. She arrived to Israel after falling in love with a story about some Hebrew family that she has met in Holland during the Second World War. But in fact, that was a lie because she actually fell in love with my father. So that's how she got there. So I was born there. My mom was listening to French chansons. My father was listening to crooners. I have an older brother and an older sister. They loved the Rolling Stones and the Beatles.
You just stole one of my later questions, but that's okay.
We ping-ponged between Israel and Holland until I was 9. And then we actually moved more solidly to Holland. And when I was 11, we moved to France. And I've been based there ever since.
I'm just very proud that I remembered 11 from the bio. I think that's, you know, it's, I got the date right, so I don't have to be embarrassed. So what an interesting history, because as a nice Jewish boy from New York who hasn't been to Israel yet, it's an interesting mix. And I've only been to Paris once, so I guess I have to work on that. So now that we got through that, this is your first English, I'm going to go backwards in a way, in a strange way, but this is your first English language album. So tell us a little bit about that.
It's in English.
Thank you. No. Come on, we know there's a story there. Don't give me that much trouble, at least not this early in the interview.
No, of course not. Well, actually, I'm getting into the mood as well. You know, I'm still. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have I've recorded two records in French, but I do write many songs in English, and I needed to, in a good way, get rid of them in order to make another album in French or whatever, and then in some way those English language songs needed a physical form, so I recorded a record called Not Going Anywhere just for fun, and it ended up being released, which is a good thing.
You did it for fun. The best things are done for fun, aren't they?
Yeah, my job is fun. Could drive you mad, but it's fun.
Well, I like my job too. So, you, getting back to the French albums, you really have worked with some of the biggest names in the French music industry, and you won the, and this is where my 5 years of French is about to go down the tubes. The Victoire de la Musique, which is technically the French Grammys. So how does it feel to kind of start anew here?
Well, there's always something good about being a beginner in things. It keeps the freshness. And also, I have never, in France, what I live, the good thing of setting records is that I'm not being recognized in the streets, but my records are still sold, which is the good thing. So I've never suffered from ego problems in that part, that I don't have to walk into a venue and play and feel very bad if people don't come up to me and tear my shirt off.
We'll leave that alone.
Yes, so I could go to New York and play in venues and live very well with the fact that nobody wants to tear my shirt off.
She repeated that twice. We'll just leave that. I'm just going to leave that one exactly where it should be. Okay, so for those who don't know, because we haven't played a song yet, well, actually, that's a lie, because I did play a couple of cuts off the album in the past couple of weeks, so it depends how well listeners pay attention, if they're taking their notes. But, you know, there's this whole thing in America. You know, in the 60s, you were Bob Dylan, and nobody said, well, they said you were a folk singer when you were Bob Dylan. But now, of course, everybody is a singer-songwriter. So when somebody says to you, what is your music, what do you do? And they come up to you the street and don't, you know, immediately tear your shirt off. What exactly do you tell them?
I tell them I make music. Today I actually feel more a producer rather than a singer-songwriter, because of course it all comes from writing songs, and this is what I love and I always loved. But you know how in order to not get bored, I mean, for me, music comes through the sound. I like the mixture I don't think the songs are right. I don't think the lyrics can be without the music, the melodies, and then the melodies cannot be on their own. I think it's a whole. So it is songwriting, but I also like, I work in terms of sound. What counts is that it sounds right. I would give up very, very intellectual, intentionally intellectual sentence with a very good meaning, just if at the end it's silly, but it sounds right. I'd prefer the sound rather than, because this is how it is.
But you haven't given up either.
Hopefully not. It's good when you can try both. But I like, it's true that when you like music, when you like songwriting, you've been through many, many things. Like I had a rock band when I was 18. I liked different things. But the thing I really like in music is melodies. And I would never give up melodies. I find it much harder to be touched by melodies and to try and make something new with melodies rather than other things that are fun to do but less fun to listen to. So I have to make things that I just have to, at the end of the day, to think that I've made something beautiful during the day in a simple way. But.
Well, it's funny you say melodies, because I always describe to people that, you know, this show I play melodic rock. And everybody, or melodic folk, or melodic whatever it may be, it could be melodic soul. And people, you know, these kids today, and 99% of the music I get, I reject, because I don't find it melodic. So, I mean, the fact that you go out of your way to do that, and that's what really counts for you, is probably rarer these days than we all know about. That wasn't really a question, that was probably a comment, but...
I agree.
Okay, an opportunity to play a song in the middle of the interview. So your background kind of really does come alive in, like, end of May. You know, it really kind of leads a little bit more to who you are and where you come from and all of that. And then there's a children's choir in there.
So I used to hate children's choir. I used to like choirs, but not to like children's choir, because there was something too religious about it. But no other sound could replace this kind of windy, something very pure sound that I wanted to hear on these songs and at that time. And those children were actually nice children. Not all children are nice, but these children were nice children, so I thought it would be nice that they're on the album.
The album is a big hit in France in English, am I correct?
Excuse me?
Is the album doing really well in France, even though it is in English?
In France, yeah.
But not in France?
In both, actually. I'm very lucky.
To what do you attribute that?
To the fact that there's a very good merchandising around this album, and people want to buy it not knowing what it sounds like, and then they buy it and regret. No, to the fact that it's an extremely good record, and you should all buy it now and buy one for your friends too, and it's okay to buy three.
Actually, it wasn't one of my official questions, but I do remember reading this. You kind of took this to Blue Note by yourself, did you not? Because you respected the label and all of that, and you kind of went to them. Am I correct?
Yes, I was very lucky, because I had a project a few years ago with a French crooner called Henri Salvador. That was very funky, so maybe we should start that. Somebody was blowing his nose.
No, we've got the vibe going here. We'll just cut it.
Okay, we're in a very beautiful surrounding. There's the sea, there's the sky, all the sounds are...
Right.
Especially
blowing their nose.
Especially
by the ocean.
People. Yeah, it's very pure and nice. So I'll say it again. I had the opportunity.
We'll leave that part in.
Okay. So Henri Salvador, he's a French crooner from Cayenne. He was 83 at the time. He's 87 today. I had the chance of writing some songs for his album. And this record actually was released here under Blue Note, so I was lucky, because the people I got in touch with already knew this other record, so I had a very warm, I would have had a warm welcome now knowing them, but at the time it was surprisingly warm welcome.
No, it's
and
it's
I was very
terrific.
Lucky to, yeah.
No, absolutely. So speaking of crooners, I read that, I'm going to destroy his name, but Serge Gainsbourg is an influence, and then John Lennon and Tom Waits and the Beatles. So is it kind of a, based on those kind of influences, and I'm sure you'll add more, is it kind of like a mix of poetry, and you already said melody, but you know, poetry and melody kind of mixed together, right?
Yes, there's something very, very fun about writing songs, if you like to write generally. I think it's very different from writing short stories or novels or anything, but there is this thing that it could be fiction, and songs do have beginning, middle, and an ending. It's just that writing songs, it has to all be in 3 minutes with a few verses and a chorus. And this is actually a nice exercise. It could be very instinctive, but there is a lot of architecture to it.
You mean you don't want to do, I mean, because, you know, I know a lot of records these days, you know, there's at least an 8 minute cut on there that you know you could be cut to 3 minutes. So you don't want to do the 8 minute, you know, rock opera.
I did my next record that I've actually recorded most of it, or a big part of it, in New York this summer, that will be released in Europe in November, and hopefully here sometime next year. There are some seven minutes on that. I like doing that, but usually when I listen to an album, I like the form of songs. I made longer pieces when it's for film or for other things, for a friend's short film or for different projects, but when it's an album of songs, I like the fact that they're songs. Some of them last for 2 minutes, some of them last for 5 minutes, but they still have an ending sometime. It's not the never-ending songs. This is boring.
You started playing guitar at age 9.
I started playing, doesn't mean it sounded right, but I started playing with a guitar, yeah.
What was the, do you remember your, it's one of those dumb DJ questions. You remember the first song you played on guitar? Or tried to play on guitar?
You know what? I usually wouldn't say it because you know what? The real song I could actually play, but it wasn't when I was 9, it was much later. I wanted for so long to play You've Got a Friend on the guitar, but I think every person my age at the time had an acoustic guitar.
Do, 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 do.
But I didn't know how to do that. I just did the chords the way and sang over it without all the intro and all the...
Poor James Taylor, because think about how hip, you know, in 1970, 72, James Taylor was the epitome of hip. And now, you know, James Taylor is kind of relegated to radio stations for people that are, you know, an average of 60, you know, 62 years old.
Oh, he's fantastic. People should continue listening to James Taylor, and especially, guys, I mean...
You might have a chance in the latter part of this interview to make that happen.
I was listening to Carole King. There was You've Got a Friend and Little Prince. They were my two favorite songs as a child. And even today, when I listen to these songs, they still make, you know, some songs, they give you this thing.
Okay. So Sailor and Widow was the first song that I immediately went for. And it's different than a lot of the albums. It's a lot more of a rocker.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
It's one of those fun pop songs that I think, I don't know.
Is that the one that anybody's pushing? I don't even know.
I don't think we're pushing, you know, anyone's... Yeah, maybe we're pushing Not Going Anywhere Now or Sailor and Widow, both.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's more...
Right, right.
Yeah, we're kind of pushing both.
It's more the album, people gravitate to Sailor and Widow.
Yeah, I don't know if they're...
So whoever the man of your dreams is also has to, watch how I phrase this question, also has to go to Iceland.
The man of my dreams?
Well, if you meet the man of your dreams, he has to follow you to France and New York, but you also spend time in Iceland, do you not?
Yes, but that doesn't mean he has to follow me there.
He just gets to stay home and make crepes and other stuff and wait till you come back from Iceland?
No, of course he has to follow me there.
Yeah. Iceland? Iceland?
Iceland to Reykjavik.
Because
it's great. Can like
I've
all
been
other
dying to go. One of the it's just one of those places that I haven't gotten to yet.
No, you really have to go. You have to go. It's great. It's very different from other landscapes, and it's very beautiful and very pale, and very crazy and very monotone during the week.
Some wild music that's come out of Iceland, and some very wild movies too.
Yeah, the thing is that it has sometimes during the week it's very monotonous. And then in the weekend, it's in a completely different country.
They party, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
They like substance.
Yeah, no question about it. Okay, the dumb questions, and then we get to do the fun one. The music on the tour bus question. What's on your iPod? What would absolutely, let's do the surprise thing this way. What would amaze people that you're listening to? Or not?
I don't know if I could amaze. And I love everything. I could find beauty. I mean, I listen from Queens of the Stone Age to Caetano Veloso in the same day. So I don't like every person who likes music. The least I listen to are songwriters of today. That's probably something I do not listen to because I don't know why. But I do listen to, I have the things I will always listen to, and that's Chet Baker and Tom Waits and Lee Hazelwood and Frank Sinatra, of course. I could never get enough of that. And then the Beatles, and that this is not something you even have to say, you know, it's like an everyday thing. A lot of all the Brazilian scene, and Antonio Carlos Jobim, and Astrid Gilberto, and Françoise Hardy, and Serge Gainsbourg. I mean, the list is way too long. But things from today, there would probably be a lot of blur, because I find Damon Albarn, and I think he's a great poet. And Kings of Convenience, and
just played them recently. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, they're great. And I don't know. Oh, I love this new band, 2220s.
Just got them. Yeah, they're very hip and very cool.
Very good Cajun rock music.
Absolutely. Okay, now the fun thing. So the way that I like to do this is we're gonna make a Karen Ann sandwich. And here's how it works. You pick two of your songs as the bread, and then you get to put as many fillings in as you want in the middle. Anything you want.
Okay.
Then I get to have to search it down, which always becomes a joyful moment.
Okay. So I need a bass.
Yes.
So does it have to be a song from my latest record? It's better if it is.
Probably make the record company happier.
Okay. So I'll put as the bass, that would be, let's do End of May, since you mentioned that.
Okay.
Okay. And then I will put mustard. So the mustard is completely different from the bread. It's completely, it has to...
Is it, okay, do I get to ask, is it Dijon or is it deli mustard?
No, it's very spicy Dijon. That's why it's going to be something completely different, but that has such great taste and such great feeling once you have it in your mouth. And that would be a postcard from a hooker, Tom Waits.
Thank you so much.
Hey, I forgot something in the sandwich.
Go ahead.
Do you like paprika?
On chicken, yes.
Okay, so I like it also in the sandwich.
Okay.
Okay, I definitely need a song. Perfect Day by Lou Reed.
Oh man, I love that song.
Yeah.
I play that every chance. In fact, I got the new remastered Transformer just so I could play that. I had an excuse to play it again.
Yeah, so it's the paprika.
That's such a... There was a movie in the past couple of years that was on the soundtrack of, and I forgot which one it was. It's on Trainspotting, you're right. You're totally right. And it's really kind of an ironic scene in Trainspotting because there's nothing perfect about Trainspotting at all.
Yeah, so that's the paprika.